are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here we go.
Theology is reality.
The God Geeks podcast. Don't feel guilty about dancing in your car as you listen to that music, because that means it's time for another show. The God Geeks podcast, where theology is reality, where Jesus Christ is Lord, and we don't mean Lord Vader. I'm your co-host, Bill Brimer.
I'm his faithful Wookiee companion, James Cleland.
And today we're going to talk to you about the two kingdoms and the biblical concept, the biblical teaching on the two kingdoms. And we're going to do that in a segment that we call Jedi Mind Tricks, where we always kind of delve into theological stuff. We do that here at the beginning of the show. And then at the end of the show, we do a segment called This Week in Geek. And in This Week in Geek, we're going to get into some rumors about Suicide Squad, the movie this summer, some summer movie sort of excitement or letdown, and a movie that James is excited about seeing, and I'm intrigued by. I'm very intrigued by. And then, of course, hold the door. We're going to get into Game of Thrones. So, hey, visit the website. You can leave a comment for us. And even more important, we've got a contest going. Get on iTunes. Give us a good review. If we can get 20 people to do it, we're going to draw a name out of the hat, and one lucky reviewer is going to get to be a guest on the show of the God Geeks podcast. So do that. Do it now, or not now, but when you get done listening to the show.
When you're not driving.
Don't do it while you're driving to work this Friday, okay? It's the weekend, and it's another episode of God Geeks. So hit the intro for Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Segment of the show, Jedi Mind Tricks, where you enter into a dark cave only to see Lord Vader, and you and you engage in a lightsaber duel in which you decapitate him, and then only to discover that you are staring into your own eyes in his helmet. Jedi Mind Tricks, where we delve into the dark and the light and the truth of theology and theological things, and and we geek out about God stuff. And today, we're going to tread on thin ice.
Very, very thin ice. Cracking ice, even.
Cracking ice. You can hear it cracking now as I even bring up the subject of politics. But now, before you get too excited,
don't turn us out yet.
Don't tune us out. We're going to actually talk, I think, about our understanding, both of our understandings, and maybe some of our questions about the biblical teaching and doctrine of the two kingdoms or the two realms, or sort of the difference between earthly civil government and the church. We're going to talk through sort of that distinction. And then possibly explore some sort of modern issues that we might have here in the U.S. in our culture, in this time, in this place, without probably getting too deep into the candidates and the stuff that's going on now. But it may kind of go there sort of organically.
Yeah.
Maybe ask some questions, and my goal is not to try to tell you how to think, but perhaps give you some truth from the scriptures and my limited and fallen and sort of broken understanding, if you will, of what God's will is, and probably mess it up along the way, and I've got my friend James here to...
I'm good at messing things up, too.
Well, I was going to say you're going to have to correct me, but if we're both going to be messing it up, let's just get into it.
So,
so okay. let me just ask you, what is your... If you have a decent articulation of sort of how you wrestle with it, how would you articulate the distinction between the two kingdoms or that whole idea and concept from the Bible?
So it's my understanding it's a concept from Scripture. So Luther didn't necessarily invent it, but maybe verbalized it as two kingdoms. Is that correct?
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not from Luther.
No.
From Scripture.
But Luther was living in a time where I think he was dealing with much harsher political realities than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fractured German Empire, Kingdom, etc. People warring, religious wars, all kinds of things going on.
That developed during his lifetime.
Yeah.
However, there, you know, the reality of his political reality was that the papacy, the Pope in Rome... was actually also sort of a royal ruler.
Oh, yeah, ran the Vatican, the Papal States, had his own kingdom, and was highly influencing other kings and princes.
Yeah, and under that sort of circumstance, you can see how it would be easy to see how the church, when it's confused with the government, which that confusion is still rampant today. We're still confused by how are these things supposed to be distinguished from. But in his context, you can see how
this is something they wrestled with. They had to,
and we wrestle with.
We do too.
And how it was important for him to articulate the word of God, and it's important for us to articulate it too.
Oh yeah.
So
the two kingdoms is basically the idea. There is a, I guess a heavenly kingdom or the spiritual kingdom. Some might say a religious kingdom, and then the earthly kingdoms, political powers and kingdoms. So government on one side and church on the other, possibly, how some people would say.
We're not going to try to, what I'm not going to do or try not to do is be too much of the word police about this.
Right.
But I think where you did really good articulating that part of it was, the civil government as distinct from the church, and so when you say two kingdoms, you're talking about an earthly civil kingdom, whether it be the United States of America or the government of Mexico or the government of Canada, as distinctly different than the kingdom of God in Christ through his people, as a light into darkness.
Right.
That those distinct realities and realms, and how important it is that if those two get confused, things go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Throughout history,
that's happened.
Yeah. If we were to try to say, to make a reality where the church rules everything, theocracy, if you will.
Which
was
in early American history. It happened in some of the colonies.
Well,
it didn't work out great.
Not the church, but there's theocracies in the Middle East right now. And it's not going well. And it never does.
It does not.
Even when it is the church, because it's not the function. Or the opposite would be... only government and no church, right?
Right.
Like the idea that...
complete
that,
schism, if
yeah,
you will.
That the government is God, right?
And that doesn't seem to work out too well either.
It works terrible. So in this fallen world, we await the divine monarchy.
Right.
The one true king will come and make all things new. And
that's when we actually do have the two kingdoms.
That's right. That's when there will be only one kingdom.
You're right.
But until that time, when we confuse the two and think that one should look like the other.
Right.
It goes haywire.
Right.
And so maybe both of our explanation of that was flawed. But here's what I would say, sort of to add to what you built on there.
It's a new concept to me over the past few years. I mean, I've always thought about it, but actually hearing
trying to delve into it and understand it. Yeah, it's a complicated thing, and it can sort of illustrate how difficult it is as a Christian who is a citizen of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And also in America, I'm a citizen of America.
Dual
and the United
citizenship.
States of America. Yeah. And how that's not necessarily going to be easy to navigate.
No.
See, it's not always going to be cut and dry as to how to view a certain issue depending on what it is. Here's what I would say if it helps people sort of understand what the functions of the two are is if you can think of them like an office, like as opposed to like the president holds the office of the presidency.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the president himself is going to be good at his job. But the fact that there's the office of the presidency is a good thing. See?
Oh yeah.
So like with
we
the
need
government
order and government.
Right.
And,
so yeah. The government is sort of the office of the government doesn't mean that particular government isn't going to abuse that office or that office is going to be carried out the way that God wants it to intend. But it is a God ordained thing. See?
Right.
Creating the government to maintain civil laws and the government is given one kind of sword. So if you have two kingdoms, right, you got two different kinds of swords, right? And the government wields the sword of civil law, right? Civil rule, punishing behavior, regulating certain behaviors, right? The church wields a different kind of sword.
Okay.
The sword of the word of God, right? The church is called to a different kind of, the government, right? It could be called to some form of violence, right? With the sword and to enforce the law.
Right.
That's not the calling of the church. Completely different thing. The sword of the word of God, the church is given the gospel and the sacraments, the good news, right? The message of Jesus Christ, the sword of the word God doesn't mean that you don't preach the law. It's just that the word of God and the sacraments are a different thing than physical violence that the government is entitled to use in order to curb civil behavior and make it better.
So holy wars are kind of a blurring where, of the lines.
That's
so the
a confusion.
Crusades,
that's,
Inquisition.
Right, yeah.
Those are all confusions of this.
And that's not to say that there's no such thing as a just war.
Right, right.
Or that intentions in entering into a war or that a war couldn't be... And in fact, let's just take an example of a just war or a just declaration of war. Let me put it that way. World War II, United States is attacked.
Right.
There's sort of a moral reason to enter into the war.
Right.
This proliferation of Nazi Germany and all that, even though they didn't necessarily know the extent of it when they got into it, the declaration of that war by the United States, a declaring of war, obviously that's a just cause,
yeah.
a just
yeah.
war. However, let me just... For a moment, take the other side. Just because a country or a government enters into a just war does not mean that the war remains just. See?
Right.
Because
we will mess it up somehow.
Because very quickly,
yeah.
Actions can that began with good intentions and began with just cause become unjust and become evil and
well, even on a smaller scale, any branch of government through, you know, fulfilling its duties
abuse,
is going to mess it up,
yeah,
abuse it.
Abuse of power,
right.
And this kind of a
I
thing.
I mean, go to the DMV.
Right.
We've all been there.
Right.
Yeah.
So the two operate with different, the two are equipped with different weapons, if you
okay.
will. Two
I
different
gotcha.
Swords, right?
Yeah.
The sword of civil law enforcement and then for the government and then the sword of the word of God, the power of the Spirit to forgive sins, to you know, Christ appearing and living inside of his people and healing and raising the dead and restoring eventually the entire planet.
Yeah.
But until then, he continues to do so through his church by the preaching of the word, ministration of the sacrament. And so those are distinct differences. Now, so what does all that mean?
Yeah, what's our duty then as a Christian within both kingdoms?
Well, I guess some questions to wrestle with is, does that mean that one side, like, we got this kind of false dichotomy, you know, in the United States. You're either a Democrat or a Republican. We got a two-party system.
Yep.
Right and left. You're either a right or left.
Red, blue.
You know, and it seems to me, this is obviously, I'm inserting my opinion here. It seems to me that in our current environment, those polar opposites continue to be further and further apart.
Yeah.
One party is left wing and one party is right wing.
Right.
And there's a demonization on both sides of anything other than far left or far right.
Yeah.
As if, you know, there is nothing but drunkenness or abstinence, right?
Right.
You know, there's nothing. So it's like the left wing worships and puts their hope in government. Right. And the right wing demonizes and thinks the government is Satan.
Right.
You know, which,
right. But then uses the government to do all kinds of different things.
Well, depending on the issue.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Depends on the issue.
But in general, you know, it seems like the environment, especially in an election season, I think
it gets
worse.
Really polarized.
Yeah. You know, because there can't be any value in between, as if you're either drunk on the government or you abstain completely from the government.
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
Government's either you know, Satan or Jesus.
Right.
Right. You know, it's either your savior or it's satanic. And obviously just common sense tells you that both of those are not true.
No.
But we still find ourselves buying into what like a platform, like we've got to buy the whole thing. Like we can't look at one side and go, you know, you're wrong about a lot of things,
but I like this,
but there's value in some of your arguments here, and look at the other side and say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do that, believe it or not. and not only that, you are called by God to use your brain.
Yeah.
And critical thinking and reason and his word and what you learn from him to the fact that you're a citizen of both kingdoms right now, to inform your decisions and your stances and the way that you operate within those two things.
Be a responsible citizen in both kingdoms.
So for instance, there's some issues in the modern day that seem like they're cut and dry.
Sure.
And and it's a hot button issue, and hold on to your seats.
Uh-oh.
Because people get wound up about it, as well they probably should. An issue like abortion.
Yeah.
So the Christian looks at abortion, right?
Right.
And says it's murder.
Right.
However, and it is. I'm not saying it's not. However, the idea that the church or the Christian is called to accuse people or behavior under God's law absent of the comfort and grace of God's gospel is demonic in and of itself.
Right. The key phrase, absent of the gospel.
Right. Yeah. Well, what does Satan do? He accuses you.
Yeah.
Of your sin, right? Of being outside of the will of God, and he does it absent of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we be doing Satan's job for him?
Right.
So on a issue that's foundational to us like that, why wouldn't? And I'm not saying it's not, but shouldn't the church and the Christian message be more like, yes, this is true, that this is murder, and I believe that it is that, and there is hope and grace and peace in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, we shouldn't just protect the unborn as a Christian, right?
Right.
What about the mothers?
Right.
What about the mothers not only who
they need
are,
the gospel
have contemplated this or done this,
right?
Are we just going to accuse them of being murderers and alienate them from the cross of Christ? That's not our call in the world. You know, the idea that we should just accuse people of behavior without the comfort of the gospel is it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
It's satanic in origin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it's not an easy thing to navigate. Right?
No,
I'm not saying I have the answer to how to navigate really difficult issues.
Well,
like this.
I think you hit a little bit. Part of the answer to it is not to do it absent of the gospel.
Well, and to understand that there's people.
Yeah. So we discussed immigration in my class the other day, and it was the same kind of thing where there were a lot of students that took a real far one way view and another extreme other.
Mm-hmm.
But what was disconcerting is, as a church, we will send youth to Mexico. We will send youth to South America. We'll send them there. But then when we have people illegally, sure, maybe breaking laws, whatever, to get in the country, we're not seeing it as a opportunity to share the gospel. It's almost like, okay, we can spend money to go there, but there's already people coming here. You can have whatever view you want, but it's a gospel opportunity.
Well, it is, and this is a difficult, very difficult subject for me because I have a personal stake in it. I grew up in Texas.
Yeah.
And we are a border state.
Yeah.
And I grew up with very, very familiar with the idea of people from Mexico, language, culture, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. music, interaction. And I have a very deep respect and affection for Mexico and for the people of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their government's got its own problems, but that's not like the idea that you or I mm-hmm. wouldn't cross an invisible line.
I would
line,
do everything I could to get my family
right,
here.
Yeah, like to cross an invisible line.
Yeah.
To make a better life for your family.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that people break the law of the land.
No, no, no.
I'm not suggesting that at all. However, I am suggesting we look at them as people and
right.
say, look at the intention, because there are some, if there's such thing as a good person and a hard worker and a good citizen, and you look around in Texas, the
yep.
people from Mexico
yep.
are going to be the people that you need to be look at and go,
yeah.
these are the people who are model citizens in
yeah.
so many ways.
Yeah.
They don't want to break the law. They don't want to, you know, the main law that they've broken is the immigration law
right.
as it goes to undocumented people. And as a Christian, how can I not look at that person and open my arms to them and say, I
right.
love you and I forgive you
right.
and I'm not condoning you breaking the law of the land, that, but I am not going to, cast you out of here or run you off
right.
or, you know, alienate you
right.
in any way. I mean, you know, it's an emotional issue
on it. Yeah.
It's an emotional issue like abortion is. It's,
right.
it's a, because people are involved.
To, yeah.
People are involved that you love and people that, you know, have made these mistakes and people that, you know, have had good intentions and actually done bad things. And, this issue is, I mean, that's not the only issue to ask questions about and go, there's value in looking at this
mm-hmm.
if you can objectively and say, how can we love people and show them grace and forgiveness and realize that it's the role of the government. It's not the role of the government to forgive sins.
Nope.
Right. It's the role of the government to enforce the law. Right.
Right.
And they need to do it. Right. And it's our job to forgive sins as Christians, you know, and to live under those laws and to not to be violent and not to be arrogant and not to be, you know, judgmental and hateful towards people
right.
of any kind. And that brings up a whole nother bag of worms and a hot button issue, which is homosexual behavior,
yep.
you know, gay marriage and all these things. And obviously you can look at it as a Christian and go, man, it's a tough thing because
yeah.
here's the deal. it's very clear about what the scriptures say about sexual practice, sexual behavior. It's between a man and a woman inside the confines of marriage, and therefore none of us are innocent of any kind of sexual sin, because we all have it in our hearts. I mean, you know, it's I'm not saying that makes it okay.
No.
I'm just saying
absent of the gospel.
Absent of the gospel, all it's going to be is accusing and condemnation.
Yep.
And so how can we not look at people and say they're people whom I'm called to love, no matter what their specific struggle is with sin.
Right.
And that's another personal thing with me. I know people and have friends who are gay, openly gay. And these are people that I would be comfortable leaving my child with. See,
right.
I mean, they're if there's such thing as a good person and a good citizen, I can look at some of the people that I know like that and say it's easy to love them because they are, if there's such a thing as a good person, which they're not, we're all sinful. They struggle with different things than I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to love undocumented immigrants who are good citizens and loving neighbors and all these other things. It's easy to love these people who I fear are alienated from the church because of the accusation of sin apart from the gospel.
Apart from the gospel.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So
all
man,
law, no gospel.
It's a tough subject. It's a fascinating subject, and it's not an easy thing to wrestle with. Anything else that you got?
I'll just say, anyone listening, remember, we're human beings too. So if you disagreed with us, hey, fine.
Right, right. We probably,
send us a message, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The good news is you can
go to
visit
the website
yeah. and give us a comment or something.
Whatever
about
political
this stuff.
Hot button issue and you want to talk about.
You know, if you disagree with us, we just won't read it. Well, enough on the two kingdoms, man. It's time to get
who
into.
Who are you voting for? By the way, no, I'm kidding.
we're not gonna go there because that's a whole nother show. And here's the thing: we're gonna switch from the two kingdoms to the seven kingdoms. In this week, in
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This week in geek.
Yeah.
It's that time. We're going to get real geeky.
Yeah.
You know we're going to talk Game of Thrones, but we'll save that for the back end. Just hold the door on that one, okay?
Oh.
Too soon? Too soon?
A tear came out. A tear.
All right. So I got a question for you. Then I got my answer to the question. What movie are you looking forward to this summer? What's the biggest one that you're excited about, and maybe one that you're dreading, like you hoped it'd be good, but now you're not thinking it will be?
Man, that's a good question because I can't think of anything that I'm super excited about in the summer.
Okay, there's kind of the answer.
Here's the deal with me and movies and the time of year. Just because of the way that I'm built, for whatever reason, I typically really love the movies that come out at the very end of the year. And a lot of times those are Oscar contention type movies.
Thinkers.
I really gravitate way more towards that. And it seems like to me, so much more action-oriented movies come out in the summertime.
The blow-up building kind of stuff.
And I'm not totally against watching those for entertainment. It's just not like I don't get excited about it. Like year-round excited about it. I get excited about like more of the epic, more of the you know, either serious dramas or stuff like that. Sorry to disappoint your question. I don't really have one.
That's a good answer.
I'm super looking forward to. However, there is one that I do think is going to be fun.
Okay.
And it's an animated one. And it's, gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it. It's where the pets, what they do when you leave them.
I can't remember what it's called.
I want to see that with my family. And I think that's going to be fun.
Okay.
So that's the one.
Okay. And there's a new Pixar, Finding Dory. I think I'm going to take Maggie, her first movie, to see Finding Dory.
All right.
Because we saw Nemo the other day and she enjoyed that. So Maggie's my daughter.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, cool. Okay. But I think I'm excited possibly about Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But then I heard some news today. I'm a little worried now. Now,
so,
we saw...
So, This Week in Geek update.
Yeah. So, we saw Batman vs. Superman together, and we walked away kind of like, ugh, that's really dark and weird.
We walked away before it was over.
Okay. So, I think the execs over at DC or whoever made that movie are a little worried after that, too, because now they're reshooting a lot of Suicide Squad.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're going back and trying to insert jokes into it to make it more lighthearted.
Oh, no.
To be more Marvel.
It's so, failed before it started?
Failed before it started.
Oh, no.
And same thing, Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters reboot. They're kind of scrambling to maybe recut some stuff because the trailer landed with a thud. So a lot of the movies I was kind of getting excited about, not so much
anymore. I think it's the nature of summer movies.
I think so.
They're hit or miss. I mean, the ones that are great action movies are usually pretty good.
Now I'm excited about Swiss Army Man. Have you heard about this movie?
No, tell me.
It's so different than the bang, bang, blow you up kind of movies. A man is stranded on a desert island, right? And it's starting to lose his mind. And the trailer, you see all this, and he's contemplating suicide. The moment he's about to commit suicide, because he's stranded on the island, a corpse washes up on the shore.
Uh-huh.
And he runs over to it, and it's Elijah Wood.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe not Elijah Wood as himself, but the actor.
And he's dead.
He's dead. Uh-huh. And he befriends the corpse, and apparently the corpse still has some weird life in it and magical powers. And has,
so it's a true story.
No, not at all. It is absolutely absurd. Lots of flatulence.
It sounds like This Week in Weekend at Bernie's.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's, except
The Walking
imagine,
Dead.
Yeah, imagine Weekend at Bernie's meets Castaway.
Yeah, okay.
But also with some weird magical stuff maybe going on, because the
corpse
can do.
Now, is this an indie film or is
indie
it like
film
a,
all the way?
Okay, that's intriguing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of excited. Watch the trailer when you get a chance. It's weird. Apparently at it was at Cannes Film Festival or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Half the people walked out. The other half loved it, and it won the
director's
prize.
Okay, so it could be one of those cult favorite things.
It's going to divide people.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
It sounds fun.
Who, do you know who made it?
I don't remember who made it, but the directors, both of their first names are Daniel, so it's just directed by Daniels. That's what they put on it. It's weird and quirky
from the start.
Oh, totally quirky.
All right, so...
Oh, Game of Thrones. We got to talk Game of
Thrones. Well, I mean, you're going to talk to the two kingdoms and
now seven
and
kingdoms.
Jedi Mind Tricks. You've got to talk about the War of the Seven Kingdoms, absent of the gospel
totally
in Game of Thrones.
Of
and this was the week, man.
Reveals.
Oh, my goodness. Hold the door.
For 6 years, we've been wondering why Hodor just says Hodor.
Yeah.
And we had some flashbacks through the Three-Eyed Raven to Hodor not always saying Hodor.
Well, and let's look at it. How rapidly that storyline has developed. It's this season and this season alone, because not only did we figure out that Willis, as a child, was a big, lovable, fully communicating, fully functioning kid.
Yeah.
But then we found out that Bran is traveling back in time.
Yep, and can interact with it.
And he can change time. And then, oh my gosh.
He creates a feedback loop, basically.
Isn't it crazy? And brilliant.
Yeah,
in
so
my
good.
Opinion, brilliant.
So good.
When I saw it, it was jaw-dropping.
Yeah, and it feels like that was always the plan with George R. R. Martin. Like, I think he knew where he was going with this. This isn't like Lost, where
he
like figured out some way.
I think this is one of those things where he obviously consulted on, hey, this is, told him, I can't finish the book by the time you want to come out with this stuff, but here's essentially where that's going.
I read an article about the meeting he had with the producers in a hotel room.
Well,
he revealed that to them. So apparently he has told them everything they need to know, the main big reveals and plot points.
So there won't be
any
drastic difference in the writing.
Not huge drastic. Maybe some, but like things like that. He told them exactly what his name meant, how it happened, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they ran with it a little bit. But
yeah.
Man. Okay, the other big reveal we found out. Now, I think I sent you an email. I don't know if I did. I read an article 2 weeks ago that maybe the Children of the Forest were responsible for the White Walkers.
They are.
And they are.
Oh, they are.
They
totally
are.
Yeah, that theory panned out.
That one panned out.
So last This Week in Geek, we were talking about Game of Thrones, and that was my whole theory with Hodor and the horse, and that didn't play out.
I still like that one.
But what's interesting is that question, it was so pivotal in not only answering the question of who Hodor is, but that Bran I mean, that's the bigger story. Is that Bran
is responsible for everything.
He's directly influencing current events in the past, which is beautiful. And
viewing them and interacting with them.
And it's a very current development in the Game of Thrones story, the way I understand it. I have not read the books.
No, that wasn't necessarily in the books.
There's not a time travel element in a...
There's a little bit... Like, in the books, I think he just made it to that tree and has maybe done a flashback.
But the idea that they can...
No, none of that's been enough.
That he's the one that's...
Right.
Currently affecting stuff.
Right.
And so it makes me wonder, and here's the intriguing question that we'll leave you with this week. Is he going to find out he's responsible for a lot more, like Ned's death, his own father's death, different things such as this? You know, is he going to find out, is he going to somehow discover that he could go back and keep from falling out of the tower and being, you know, paralyzed, you know,
totally reboot the world and we get six more seasons,
or that is that going to somehow change his ability to like walk in the current,
right?
You know, if he goes back and fixes it, does that now then reboot where he is now in time? You know what I mean? Like
time travel is tough to do, and it usually ruins a show.
It does.
So far in this one,
it's made it, man. It's made it beautiful.
It's perfect.
It's made it beautiful. That's This Week in Geek. We talked so long about the Two Kingdoms, we couldn't talk so long about the Seven Kingdoms.
That's okay. We'll talk again next week.
That for sure. We totally will. So that's it for this episode of the God Geeks Podcast. See you next week.
Tell us, of course, God Geeks.